We have some very rich scripture lessons today, and I don't have time to do all of them. Well, I do, because I'm retired, but, you know, you don't. You probably want something important like, I don't know, lunch at some point. But I really want to spend some time today with our gospel lesson, but to undergird that lesson, we need to consider the other two, Solomon's prayer and Paul's great hymn of affirmation. Let's look at Solomon for a moment. He was pretty young when he ascended to the throne, and he had everything going on. He was probably awed and overawed at everything that was coming before him, his responsibilities as king. He did not know who to trust to advise him. He didn't know the customs, the traditions, all of this stuff being thrown at him in the first days and weeks of his administration. And when God asks him, "What do you want?" he says, "Just let me understand what's going on here. Give me wisdom and discernment so that I can make some sense out of this mess I suddenly find myself in." And God says, "You got a deal." God says, "I'm so happy you didn't ask for the superficial things of life, like health, long life, the death of your enemies. All of those things are easily requested and, truth be told, easily done. But you asked on a deeper, deeper level. And that's why this is going to be granted to you. You're going to be given a discerning mind." Now, I like to think that as we age, or some of us just age and never really mature, I'm not pointing any fingers in, but we either get a bit of a discerning mind or we die young. There are some things that I did when I was young that were I to do them now, I would assume room temperature in a heartbeat. Okay? And you've done the same thing. You know, I went to college, excuse me. Some of it I remember. It was the University of Georgia. But as time passed, and as we learn the lessons of life, our discerning minds begin to develop. As we experience things and meet people and go through relationships, our minds begin to discern what is good and what is bad and what is absolutely terrible. And those of us who are parents, we try to impart some of that wisdom and discernment to our children. And we get very frustrated when we only have very limited degrees of success therein. And then part of our discerning mind tells us, you know, some things they just got to learn on their own. You cannot drive down Highway 99 or 29 in Decatur, Georgia, in that long stretch and just decide, "I'm going to see what Dad's car will do." And the state patrol is right there. And he didn't tell me about it. And the next day, I went and got in my car, and I was going to work, and the check engine light came on. And I took it to my mechanic at the dealership. And he said, "Rev, you drive fast." I said, "Well, no, not as a rule, maybe 5 or 10 miles an hour over the speed limit at times, but, you know, not bad." "No, we're talking a whole different school of thought here." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, your number 5 cylinder misfired last night at 10:27 p.m. when your car was going 117 miles an hour. And I said, can you print that out for me? Sure enough. It was one of those tractor feed. Remember those things? Gave it to me. I went home, and Mac, my oldest, was just kind of waking up. You know, he's 17 years old. Got to get his sleep. Dad, what do you want this early in the morning? It's only 10 o'clock. And I held up the little piece of paper, and I smiled my best fatherly smile, and I said, busted! He did not get behind the steering wheel again for 6 months. The discerning mind is often developed by poor choices. Now he's a very cautious driver. We all begin to develop that discerning mind that God gave to Solomon because Solomon was smart enough to ask for it. The discerning mind. Let's look at Paul. Paul, by the time he's writing that 8th chapter of Romans, with which most of us are very familiar, Paul has already developed that discerning mind. He has had great experience of the Spirit in his life and in his ministry and his various oppressions which happened to him. And he learned that by way of that discerning mind, he could trust God to deliver him from situations from which there seemed to be no escape. From prison, from torture, from beatings. He knew by virtue of experience and that discerning mind that his life, his views, his opinions were not ultimate. That God had a better plan for him. And even if he couldn't see it at the moment, he knew it was out there. And he knew he could trust it. What will deliver us? The power of Jesus Christ. And that alone. Nothing else. And then we move to our gospel lesson today. We've got the discerning mind. We've got the eternal outlook now. And Jesus is here giving us this smorgasbord of parables. I had a professor in seminary. He said, young preachers, do not ever presume to preach on the parables of Jesus Christ. They are too difficult for the human mind to comprehend. And of course, being me, I raised my hand and I said, well, Professor, isn't that the whole point? And he invited me to attend that class again the next term. Sometimes the discerning mind and the confident attitude will get you in a bit of trouble, particularly in the land of academia. But Jesus is here reaching out to people of every different type and description. Jesus is here trying to find people with different experiences, different outlooks of life, and say to them, the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God isn't this, but it's like this. The Western mind has a lot of problems with metaphor. We want everything to be black or white, yes or no, zero or one. The kingdom of God's not like that. Jesus is saying there is plenty of room in the kingdom of God for everybody, even the weird ones. Okay, guess what? We're all weird. My granddaughter, bless her heart, Clover, she's had a tough time. And I was trying to impart some grandfatherly advice to her. And she said, Papa Bear, that's what she calls me. Papa Bear, you're just weird. And I said, yes, guess what? You are too. And we're going to sit here and we're going to be weird together until we figure all of this out. Drove her absolutely crazy. But you know what? I love this last parable. You can see that weird uncle in your family, Uncle Andrew, who keeps talking about the time he threw the net over the side of the boat and pulled in every kind of fish that God ever created, from crappie to marlins, all of them in that net. And we say, yeah, we keep hearing that. He tells that every time we all get together, particularly if you've had a couple of bourbon and branch waters. Aunt Agnes needs to hide that liquor because he's going to tell it again. But you know what's in that net? We're all there. Every kind of fish, every kind of person, every kind of outlook, we're all in that net. And there are people there we may not get along with. There are people there we may not expect to find in that net. And guess what the good news of the gospel is? We don't get to decide who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. We don't do that. We're in sales, not management. And who gets to make those decisions? The angels. The next time you think you know somebody's eternal destination, check your back for wings. If you find some there, let me know and I will pay attention to you. But the chances are that decision is far beyond our pay grade. So what do we do with it? We don't worry about it. We go out and we share the good news of the kingdom, realizing that there are so many different types of fish in that basket, and we're just one of them. And God has made us all different. And God has made every single one of us wonderfully weird in our own way, and that's okay. In fact, that's part of the divine comedy of the drama of the kingdom. We all fit in. All of the puzzle pieces are different, but they all get assembled in the last, and there's room for all of us to be there. In the meantime, we pray for discerning minds and a resilient faith that is open to the possibilities that we're not going to understand everything, and a way of looking at life that includes everybody and everything, and it all comes together in that wonderful banquet when we will all have enough to eat, enough to drink, and love to share. I'm looking forward to that. As long as there's no tapioca pudding, please. Let's pray together. Holy God, the whole world is indeed in your hands, not ours. Remove from us, we pray, the need to judge, and give us, we pray, the joy of discernment and the joy of a strong faith. Help us to learn to lean on you when we don't have all the answers, and help us to learn to lean on each other as we seek day by day to build your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.